In 2026, deciding to build a client's website with headless WordPress is going to do, well, one of two things.
Right.
It will either completely double your agency's revenue by unlocking, you know, enterprise scale performance, or it will just entirely bankrupt your project on day one with absolute DevOps nightmares.
Yeah, there's practically no in-between anymore. It's the ultimate double-edged sword for a web agency right now.
Totally.
Because if you get the architecture right, you're a hero, yeah. Right? But if you misjudge the actual requirements, you're just spending your entire profit margin debugging build pipelines.
And if you're listening to this deep dive, you are an experienced WordPress developer. You know, you spent the last 5, maybe 15 years living in PHP.
Oh, yeah.
Writing custom MySQL queries, wrestling with traditional hosting environments. And you have definitely had the headless WordPress pitch thrown at you before.
Probably multiple times.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think back to 2019. The marketing team's promised decoupled themes were the undeniable future.
The first wave.
Yeah, then 2021 brought Next.js and Faust.js, and they were like, no, wait, now it's actually the future?
Exactly.
And then by 2024, the major agencies insisted the ecosystem was, you know, finally mature. And through all of that hype, you probably just rolled your eyes, booted up a local server, and went right back to building reliable, rock-solid PHP child themes.
Which, honestly, was the exact right move.
Right.
Yeah, that skepticism wasn't you being a dinosaur or something. It was a survival instinct. I mean, think about it. Headless architecture takes a system that was fundamentally designed over 2 decades to be a tightly integrated, all-in-one monolith.
Right. It's all connected.
Exactly. And it forcibly rips it in half. So you were completely justified in waiting for the dust to settle on that.
But the dust has settled. And here's where it gets highly relevant for us today in module 15 of our 16-module course on the modern web and DevOps landscape.
Yep.
Headless architecture has crossed this threshold where it adds genuine, undeniable value, but only for very specific types of projects.
Very specific.
And knowing the mechanical difference between those projects and being able to architect a headless stack without blindly swallowing vendor hype, that is the most lucrative tool you can add to your tool belt.
Absolutely.
So our mission for this deep dive is to look at the actual mechanics of headless WordPress. No lecturing, no marketing fluff, just a peer-to-peer breakdown of what breaks, how to fix it, and how this bridges the gap between traditional PHP environments and the modern DevOps stack.
Yeah, so to figure out if all this added operational complexity is actually worth your time, we really have to start by completely redefining what is happening at the server level.
Right, going under the hood.
Exactly. In a traditional monolithic setup, you know, when a user clicks a link, the server boots up PHP, queries the database, stitches together header.php, footer.php, the main template.
The classic WordPress loop.
The classic loop, right. And then it serves a finished HTML document to the browser. But headless simply means you are severing that rendering engine entirely.
Just chopping it off.
Chopping it off. WordPress is reduced to purely a back-end database management tool.
Right. So you keep the block editor, your custom post types, advanced custom fields, user roles. But the front end is rendered by a completely separate application, usually written in JavaScript, like Next.js or Astro.
Right.
And I want to use a mental model here from our sources because it perfectly illustrates the mechanical shift.
Okay, lay it on me.
Imagine traditional monolithic WordPress as a highly efficient food truck.
I love a good food truck.
Right. So the chef is cooking the food, the cashier is taking the money, and the customer is eating all within like a 10-foot radius.
Yeah.
Everything shares the same power source, the same space. It's confined, but it just works.
It works perfectly.
Right.
And following that logic, headless WordPress is like a massive high-end restaurant where the kitchen and the dining room are in completely different buildings.
Right.
The kitchen is WordPress. It is entirely focused on just cooking the content. The dining room is your modern JavaScript front end, designed and operated completely separately.
And usually on a different hosting provider altogether.
Exactly. And to get the food from that kitchen to the dining room, you need a highly coordinated system of waiters carrying trays.
Right.
That tray is your API.
So architecturally, we are looking at 3 incredibly distinct pillars. Pillar 1 is your kitchen, the content source. This is a standard WordPress install, but it's hidden.
Right. Nobody sees it.
Exactly. Instead of living at the main domain, the admin usually runs at a lockdown subdomain like cms.yourdomainist.com. And for the editorial team, their day-to-day doesn't change at all. They log in, they write in Gutenberg, they hit publish.
Yeah. And then pillar 2 is the tray carrying the data. Instead of WordPress compiling HTML, it exposes all that cooked content via REST API or GraphQL.
Stripping away the presentation.
Right. It strips away all the visual stuff.
Yeah.
And just serves up raw, pure JSON data over the wire.
Which brings us to pillar three, the dining room. This is a separate front-end application, totally isolated from your database. It fetches that JSON data, parses it, templates it out using React or Vue components, and serves it to the visitor.
Yeah.
And this is hosted somewhere like Vercel or Netlify, nowhere near your PHP server.
But, and this is the big, but putting your kitchen and your dining room in entirely separate buildings creates an immediate, massive logistical nightmare.
Oh, absolutely.
Because how does the dining room know if the kitchen just sold out of a menu item? How do the waiters know when the menu changes?
Exactly. Which brings us to the friction point. As a developer who already has a lightning-fast workflow with traditional themes, I mean, I know the WordPress loop, I can build a custom template hierarchy in my sleep.
You've been doing it for years.
Right. So why on earth would I voluntarily split my infrastructure in half and take on that logistical nightmare?
Well, you're doing it to escape the performance bottlenecks of the PHP lifecycle. The primary benefit is speed and scale at the front-end level. By removing the need for a server to process PHP on every single page request, you can pre-compile your entire site into static assets.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, or use edge-rendered pages that load in, like, milliseconds worldwide. Mm-hmm. You also get the modern developer experience, you know? Component reusability across projects, strict type safety with TypeScript.
Just huge.
Huge. And native version control that traditional database-driven WordPress themes really struggle with.
Okay, I hear the pitch, but let's pressure test this a bit. Let's look at the decision tree for 2026.
Yeah.
What if I'm building a site for, say, a local plumber or a regional law firm?
Okay.
They update their blog maybe twice a year, but as a developer, I really want to use Astro to get them a perfect 100 on their Google Core Web Vitals.
Mm.
Wouldn't that local business benefit massively from the insane load speeds of a static site for their local SEO?
Absolutely not.
Wait, really?
Yes, and this is the exact trap so many developers fall into. Yes, they get 100 on Core Web Vitals, but the ROI is completely negative.
How so?
Think about the mechanical reality of what you just built for that plumber. When they want to change their holiday hours in December, they update it in WordPress. But because the site is static, that update doesn't go live automatically.
Oh, right, because it's detached?
Exactly. Oh. It requires a webhook to fire from WordPress to your front-end host to trigger a completely new build. If that webhook misfires, say, because of an expired token, the site doesn't update.
Ouch.
Yeah. Now that local plumber has to call you, and you have to bill them $150 an hour to debug a GitHub action just so they can change a line of text.
Oh, man. Yeah, the overhead of maintaining two deployment pipelines for a site with zero interactive complexity will literally bankrupt a small operation.
Exactly.
So the chef and the dining window need to stay in the same food truck. You stay with monolithic WordPress.
Full stop. There is zero headless dividend there. You reserve headless for the extremes. So if you have an editorial team publishing 50 articles a day and a front end that requires highly complex state management like real-time inventory filtering, user dashboards, or, you know, multi-step interactive flows that traditional WordPress struggles to do smoothly, that is your prime candidate.
Okay, so let's assume we have that prime candidate. A heavy editorial team, complex interactive front end. We need to choose our API, the tray, and our front end.
Yep.
For the API, the debate always comes down to the built-in WordPress REST API versus WP GraphQL. The REST API is native, it's there by default, and it serves up JSON. It works.
It does work.
But in traditional WordPress, the REST API requires a waterfall of requests, right?
Yeah.
You ask for a post, it gives you the post data, but it only gives you the ID for the author and the ID for the featured image.
Right, just the IDs.
Then your front end has to make two more round trips to the server just to get the author's name and the image URL.
Right, which is highly inefficient. And that's exactly why WP GraphQL became so popular. It's a plugin, now owned by WP Engine, that completely replaces REST with a GraphQL endpoint. The mechanical advantage is that you can ask for the post, the author's name, the featured image URL, and the last three related posts, all in one single, highly specific query. You get exactly the data you asked for, nothing more, nothing less.
But we have to talk about the fragility of that schema.
Oh, yeah.
The REST API is virtually indestructible at this point. It's core WordPress. WP GraphQL is brilliant, but because it maps your entire WordPress database into a strict schema, it is highly sensitive to changes.
Very sensitive.
If a client installs a new SEO plugin or updates advanced custom fields and it slightly alters a data node in the back end, your GraphQL query on the front end might suddenly ask for a field that no longer exists in the way it expects.
And when a GraphQL query fails, it doesn't just, fail gracefully. It often breaks the entire front-end build process. Your deployment will just halt.
Just a hard stop.
Yep. If you are using WP GraphQL, you really have to lock down the WordPress backend. You cannot let clients randomly install plugins, and you have to pin your dependency versions meticulously.
Yeah, no Wild West for the clients. So let's move to the front-end choices. If you want pure speed for a heavy content site, you look at a static site generator like Astro or 11D.
Right.
The front end pulls the WordPress data at build time, compiles it all into raw HTML, and throws it on a CDN. WordPress basically ceases to exist from the visitor's perspective.
But if you need dynamic user sessions, you're usually looking at Next.js. And in this space, Faust.js is the heavily marketed solution right now.
Right, from WP Engine.
Exactly. It's essentially a pre-configured Next.js boilerplate that handles a lot of the deeply annoying wiring for you, like authentication and setting up routing structures that mimic WordPress permalinks.
It's powerful, but I'll add a caveat here. It is very tightly coupled to WP Engine's specific ecosystem. It's great if you host with them, but it can feel pretty heavy if you're trying to stay vendor agnostic.
That's fair.
Which brings me to a pattern I actually love, which is the decoupled islands architecture.
Oh, the islands architecture is fascinating.
Tell me about it.
So instead of rebuilding the entire site as a single React application,
You
build a mostly static HTML site, maybe using Astro, but you embed tiny isolated widgets of dynamic interactivity, an island of React.
Okay.
So the page load is instant, but that one specific live search box or the user comments section makes the live client-side fetch callback to the WordPress API. It gives you the speed of a static site without sacrificing those dynamic features.
I love that. Okay, but let's get into the mud. You've chosen your stack, let's say Next.js and the REST API. You've convinced the agency, you've pitched the client.
We're locked in.
What is going to catastrophically break on day one? Because as a traditional dev, I rely on certain core WordPress mechanics that I honestly don't even think about anymore. For instance, my editors live and die by the preview button.
Oh man. The preview problem is the perpetually sharp edge of headless architecture that the marketing completely glosses over. Let's go back to your restaurant metaphor. In the food truck, the chef can literally look out the window to see how the customer reacts to the food. That's traditional WordPress preview. The system knows exactly what the front end looks like because it renders it.
Because the PHP template is right there.
Yeah.
But in our headless restaurant, the chef is in a windowless kitchen miles away. They are cooking entirely blind.
Precisely. Mechanically, when an editor clicks preview in WordPress, the core software attempts to load a PHP template file to display the draft.
Right.
But in a headless setup, that PHP template doesn't exist anymore. Your front end is a separate Next.js app. So the editor clicks preview, and they either get a blank white screen, a JSON dump, or a 404 error.
Which means your editorial team will immediately revolt. I mean, they cannot publish if they can't see how the blocks lay out on the page.
No, they'll lose their minds. So you have to engineer a two-way radio between the kitchen and the dining room.
Okay, how does that work?
You have to intercept the WordPress preview link, generate a secure single-use authentication token, send that token over to your Next.js application, have Next.js use that token to securely bypass the API restrictions,
Whoa. Fetch
the unpublished draft data, and render it in an iframe back inside the WordPress admin.
That is insane.
It is highly complex engineering just to restore a button that worked perfectly by default yesterday. Now, Faust.js handles this out of the box, which is a massive selling point. But if you roll your own stack, you are building that bridge manually.
And that brings us to the next logistical nightmare, cache invalidation. In traditional WordPress, this is a solved problem. I update a post, my caching plugin hooks into the database update, flushes the local server cache for that URL, and boom, the new post is live. Simple.
Simple, but in headless, your front-end cache and your back-end database do not talk to each other. Your front end is sitting on a Vercel edge node in Tokyo, serving a static HTML file that was generated 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
When the editor hits update on the server in New York, the Vercel node has absolutely no idea the database transaction just occurred.
So visitors just keep seeing the old cage.
Exactly. You cannot rely on the system to just, you have to wire up your hooks.
Right.
When WordPress saves a post, it must fire an HTTP request out to a specific API route on your Next.js server. That route validates the request and then triggers a function in Next.js. It's called on-demand revalidation, which tells the edge cache to explicitly purge that specific URL and rebuild it in the background.
And if you mess up the webhook logic,
your client's breaking news article never goes live.
Let me stop you there, because the caching is bad, but I think the biggest shock for a veteran WordPress developer is what I like to call the plugin massacre.
Oh boy.
I have relied on Yoast SEO, Gravity Forms, and a dozen other plugins for my entire career. What mechanically happens to them when we sever the front end?
They break.
Just completely.
Yeah, because you just deleted the hooks they rely on to function. Every WordPress developer knows the ROPHEAD function. It sits in your header template, and it acts as an open door for plugins to inject whatever they want into the page's HTML head meta tags, CSS, scripts.
But in a Next.js front end, ROPHEAD literally does not exist. There is no PHP compilation step.
Therefore, all that automatic injection vanishes into the void. Yoast might be doing a brilliant job calculating all your canonical tags and OpenGraph data in the back end, but it has absolutely no way to print them on the screen.
So how do you fix it?
You have to query the REST API, find the specific JSON object where Yoast stores its data, pull it across the wire, and then manually map each individual field into your Next.js metadata components.
Man, and forms are even worse. Like, Gravity Forms assumes it can render its own HTML markup, load its own validation scripts, and handle the form submission locally.
Right.
In a headless setup, you have to recreate the entire visual form from scratch using React State Management. You have to build the input fields, handle the error validation in JavaScript, and then take the user's data, package it into a JSON payload, and manually post it back to the Gravity Forms REST API endpoint. You are essentially rebuilding the plugin's front end from the ground up.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And analytics plugins that rely on PHP to track page views.
Yeah.
Completely dead. The traffic never hits your WordPress server.
Yeah.
You must ruthlessly audit every single plugin your client relies on before committing to this architecture.
Wow.
And this leads directly to the daily reality of operational double duty. You are no longer just a web developer. You are managing DevOps.
Right.
You have two separate hosting environments, which means two monthly bills. You have two distinct code bases that require version control and dependency updates. You have two separate security services to monitor.
That's a lot of overhead.
It is. If you are a solo freelancer or a small agency, you just doubled your on-call rotation.
Yeah.
If the webhook fails on a Friday night, the client is calling you. You have to budget your time and significantly increase your client's retainer to account for that reality.
So, given everything we just talked about, the preview hacks, the cache invalidation webhooks, the death of ROPHEAD, the DevOps overhead, why is the WordPress economy aggressively shifting in this direction? And what does it actually mean for a developer's career trajectory?
Well, it really comes down to a massive psychological advantage when pitching to enterprise clients.
Okay, lay out the pitch.
Imagine you are pitching a Fortune 500 company on modernizing their sluggish 10-year-old monolithic website. If you tell them you need to migrate them to a completely new enterprise CMS, you're also telling them they have to retrain their entire editorial department.
Oh, they hate that.
That, despise it. They have to rewrite all their internal publishing documentation and migrate terabytes of historical media. That is a terrifying, high-risk, incredibly expensive proposition. It kills deals.
But with headless architecture, you completely bypass that objection. You look at the client and say, we are going to radically modernize your front end. Your site will be incredibly fast, highly secure, and dynamically interactive. But your editors, they don't have to learn a single new thing.
Yep.
They get to keep the exact WordPress dashboard, the exact custom fields, and the exact publishing workflow they've used for a decade.
Yes. You are preserving their editorial backbone while replacing the aging presentation layer. That story lands perfectly in boardrooms. It lowers the perceived risk of the project, and it makes the stakeholders feel safe.
And we are seeing the entire hosting market reshape itself to support this exact agency pitch. Look at the major managed WordPress hosts. WP Engine didn't buy WP GraphQL and build Faust.js just for fun.
No, definitely not.
They did it to anchor a massive enterprise headless hosting tier. Kinsta, Pantheon, they're all pivoting hard to offer these integrated headless bundles. They see that the highest margin, most complex projects are decoupling.
Which creates a massive financial incentive for you, the listener, as a developer. Traditional PHP WordPress shops are a dime a dozen. But developers who can bridge this specific gap, who understand the deep database mechanics of WordPress and the modern deployment pipelines of a JavaScript framework, are exceedingly rare.
Right. If you're looking for extra resources, checking out Casey Bisson's Pantheon video on headless patterns is great for the commute, or just digging into the WP REST API handbook for authentication and filtering. Because if you are willing to walk through the fire, understand the mechanisms, and learn how to wire these two worlds together, your hourly rate goes up. It is that simple.
Yeah, you elevate yourself from a theme customizer to a systems architect.
Exactly.
So to wrap up our analysis for this module, headless WordPress is not a mandatory evolution that every site must eventually undergo. It is not the default future for the local plumber or the static brochure site.
Right.
But if you need to scale complex, highly interactive front-end applications while preserving the world-class editorial interface that WordPress has spent 20 years refining, headless is the exact surgical tool you need.
And this sets us up perfectly for our next and final step in the course. Module 16 is the keystone. We've spent time talking about the kitchen and the dining room, but in the next deep dive, we are going to look at the entire modern supply chain.
But it's a big one.
It's huge. We are going to wire up a full stack end-to-end. We'll look at Supabase for managing external databases, Drizzle as the ORM to interact with that data safely, Vercel for hosting our front-end edge network, and GitHub Actions to automate the entire deployment pipeline so you don't have to trigger builds manually.
We are going to show you exactly how the data flows mechanically through the modern stack from the moment you commit code to the moment it deploys globally. It is the connective DevOps tissue that almost every tutorial out there just skips over.
It really is. But before we go, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over regarding our restaurant analogy.
Okay.
Headless architecture fundamentally moves the dining room completely out of the building. It turns WordPress into an isolated windowless kitchen serving raw data over an API. So if the front end of the web continues to decouple at this aggressive pace, and WordPress increasingly becomes an invisible back-end utility for modern JavaScript applications, does WordPress's true long-term survival depend entirely on its database structure and how comfortable editors are with its admin dashboard rather than its massive, famous ecosystem of visual PHP themes?
That is a fascinating question.
Right. If the dining room keeps moving further and further away, is the kitchen's only real value its recipe book? Something to think about as you write your next custom loop. We will see you in Module 16.